You can find just about anything that you want to study in the Scriptures at www.lifegatechurch.com. This series, this sermon, hundreds of more series, thousand sermons are at www.lifegatechurch.com that covers everything. And if you want to look for us on Facebook, as Terry has already said, Life Gate, two words, Life Gate Church. Put in those three words and you'll find us. We're talking about smile, staying positive, win. When negative stuff is happening in your life, to receive the blessings of God that He has for us, we have to stay positive. God does not bless negatives. Now, a couple of weeks ago was Mother's Day, and we talked about it then. We talked about smile, staying positive when you had a bad mother. If anything starts a bad life, it's a bad mother. You know, if you had a bad mother, then you were off to a negative start. We talked about that. We talked last time about smile, staying positive when you want to be negative about yourself, your self-worth issues. You feel inferior. You feel self-worthless. You know, so we talked about that because the problem is on the inside of us, not out there. The problem is because we become what's going on the inside. If we are angry on the inside, we become angry. If we're sad inside, we become sad. If we're happy inside, we become happy, and we become what's happening on the inside. We talked about that. Now, today what I want to talk about is smile, staying positive when in dark times. When you're in dark times, how do you stay positive? Now, I want to make a point here off the top. Everybody goes through dark times. Am I right? But why is that? I mean, hear me out. It seems like with all the people that have lived upon this planet, that at least one of them would have gotten through life without having a bad time. At least one. I mean, at least God's favorites should make it through life, right? Without going through a dark time. Have you ever thought about that? That nobody makes it through life without going through a bad time, a dark time. Now, maybe in your particular situation, there was a betrayal. In a marriage or in a relationship, that's a dark time, betrayal. Or maybe you were laid off at work, your occupation. They had cutbacks at your company, and you were the one cut back. Now you have no income, no employment. That's a dark time. Maybe you're facing illness, severe illness, serious illness. Or maybe you have a loved one that's facing serious illness. That's a dark time. It's a dark time. See, what these things do is they numb us. They numb us to life. They numb us to our dreams. They numb us towards God. Maybe you went through a divorce or a couple of divorces. At least half of you have. You've experienced the darkness, the dark time of divorce. And that's a horrible dark time. Maybe you've had a child that's broken your heart. That's a dark time. Maybe you're a mother who had a miscarriage. Dark time. Maybe there's mental illness that maybe a parent had. Alzheimer's has set in. Or maybe you have mental illness situations in your life, in your family. That's a dark time. Serious dark time in our lives. Maybe you had a relationship that's been a friend to you for years and years and years, and something's happened now that's broken that relationship, and this friend has turned their back on you and walked out of your life. It hurts. That's a dark time. See, dark times happen to us all. And it's easy in dark times to become discouraged. Discouraged with our dreams. Discouraged with God. Discouraged with life. Discouraged with the goals that we've wanted and things that we wanted to accomplish in life. But the reason that it is, the reason that we become numb and discouraged in life is because we allow the dark times to use us and discourage us rather than us using and understanding the dark time. And what I want to talk about today, when you go out of here today, I really want you to know what the Bible says about dark times and what they are to accomplish and to do in your life. Now, weeks back, we did a series that's called It's Not Right. And in that series, we looked at a lot of scriptures, but I want to show us two that pertain to what we're talking about here. And we looked at James in James chapter 1 at verse 2, and it says this: consider it pure joy. Consider it what? Pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials. of many kinds? Pure joy? Are you kidding me? No. He goes on and he says, because you know that. And he goes on to explain why we should consider it pure joy. There's a reason for every trial that we go through. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, it says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, all kinds of dark times. And he says, these come so that. There is a purpose that dark times come upon us. There is a reason, there is a purpose for every trial that you go through. Every trouble that you go through, there's a reason and there's a purpose for every situation that you suffer through, every grief that you encounter, every dark time that you or I enter into it, there is a reason for it. Now, Jesus shows us something about this. Even Jesus had dark times, and this is the most favorite of God of all people. Yet he went through many dark times, but this is the darkest of his times that I'm about to read you about and what he said. In John chapter 12 and verse 23, it says this, Jesus replied, the hour has come. Now, this is a dark hour. I want you to see something here. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. To be what? Now, don't miss this. The dark hour brings the glorification. It's time, the hour's come, for me to be glorified. The dark hour is bringing my glorification. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat or a seed falls to the ground and dies, unless it goes through a dark time, it remains only a single seed. It's unproductive. The potential that's locked within the seed is never released. But if it dies, if it goes through a dark time, it produces many seeds. I want to read that to you from the King James Version. It says it in a neat way. Verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, the seed, fall into the ground, into a dark time, and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus tells us here that he is about to go through his darkest of times, his crucifixion. And he pictures it as his life being a seed, a kernel of corn. And he says, if this kernel of corn stays in the light all the time, it produces nothing. The potential and the power that's locked within the kernel of corn will never produce. But if it goes through the dark time, if it goes into the ground, if it goes into the ground and dies there and has its dark time, then it germinates and it transforms into a plant, into productivity, and the potential that was locked within that one seed is released into many seeds, into much fruit. Now, you have seeds within you. Many seeds. There are dream seeds within you. There are goal seeds within you. There are abilities, seeds within you. There are objectives. Those seeds that you have, objectives that you want to accomplish in your life, they're within you. There is potential seeds within you. And they will never produce without a dark time. What releases those seeds within you, what brings those seeds to life and brings forth a potential is when it goes through a dark time. Let me say it this way. Your dark times glorify you. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, the hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The dark times come for that's going to bring glory to the Son of Man. The dark times come to your life to glorify you. See, it's in the dark times that your character is formed. It's in the dark times that your attitudes are adjusted. It's in the dark times where your priorities are aligned. It's in the dark times where you become strong. It's in the dark times that you become who you want to become and who God wants you to become. You would not like you if you didn't go through dark times. See? Dark times are actually a blessing. Now, we don't realize that. But dark times are actually a blessing for you, not a bad thing. And when we begin to understand this and realize that I know I'm going through a tough time here, but when I get through this tough time, I know good times are coming. Then we can go through the valley, the dark valleys, far better. See, they're really a blessing in our lives. See, God doesn't misuse a dark time. He uses dark times in our life. You know, he won't not use one of them. Every dark time you go through, God is using it. Now, it caught you off guard, but it didn't catch God off guard, did it? See, actually, your dark times result in your good times. Your dark times are a blessing for you. They produce good things for your life. Your dark times in your life are actually a result. Your good times in your life are actually a result of what you've experienced in your dark times. And if they weren't good for you, then God wouldn't have let it happen to you. Now, if we're given enough information about a character in the Scriptures, we find that every single one of them went through dark times, but it was through the dark times they were glorified. We look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. It's the hall of faith. You have all of these people that are listed there, but you know why they're listed there? Because of their dark times. Every one of them went through dark times, and they maintained their faith and their trust in God through those dark times, which brought them glory, that's glorified them. You're glorified in your dark times. You look at any character that you want to. Look at Noah. He went through the dark time of the flood, but out of that came a new world. Look at Abraham. Abraham went through all kinds of dark times. Abimelech, Pharaoh, Lot, all the dark times that he went. But he came out of there as the father of nations and the father of the faithful. Look at Sarah. Sarah went through all the dark times with Hagar and Ishmael. But out of that came the promise, Isaac. You look at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Think about Joseph. We're going to talk about Joseph more in just a minute. But think about the dark times that Joseph went through. But out of there came the leader of a nation, the second in command of Pharaoh. Every dark time produces something good at the end of it. We look at Moses. Moses was in a dark time on the backside of the wilderness, keeping his father-in-law's sheep. But out of that came a genius. Out of that came a deliverance from the people of God from Egypt. Out of that came the law of the Lord, the commandments of God that we run and operate our lives by. Every dark time produces something good if it's handled correctly. We go on down through the list, and we can talk about all of them. We can talk about Joshua going through his dark times. We can talk about Samuel going through the dark times with Saul. But out of that dark time with Saul came David. And David, we're going to talk about him more in just a minute. David went through all sorts of dark times. And but out of that came the king unlike any other. We can't talk about dark times and not talk about Job. Job went through dark times, and we studied that not long ago. And we saw that God will allow Satan to bring dark times into your life, so he can use those dark times to work your life to a way that he can bless you double. And no matter how we look at it, no matter who we look at, they went through dark times. And when the dark time was correctly handled, every time, every single time, good things happen. Good things happen. Blessings happen at the end of every single dark time. Good things. Dark times are a blessing in your life. We just don't realize it. God is doing something amazing in our life. He's working amazing blessings every single time in our life. So this is what happens with us. This is what happens. Let's talk about Joseph just a second. Now, we all should know the story of Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite, but his brothers hated him. His brothers, his own brothers, betrayed him. They took him and they threw him into a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. And then they took him to Egypt. where a man named Potiphar bought him. Now, that's a dark time. Well, when your own brothers betray you, when your own brothers throw you in a pit, that's a dark time. Well, he lives in Potiphar's house, and it seems like things are getting better until Mrs. Potiphar wants him. And she lies on him. Now he goes to jail. Jail is a dark time. He goes to jail for 13 years. That's a lot of dark time. But while there, we learn something. And something's relayed to us about Joseph. And I want to read this to you out of Psalms 105, verse 17. This is 13 years in prison, is what happened to him. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till. How long? Till. There's always a till in your dark time. When the word of the Lord comes to reality. That's what it says here. Irons till, what he foretold came to pass till the word of the Lord proved him true. The word of the Lord will prove you true in your dark time. The king sent and released him. King is Pharaoh here. Released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed. You see, what I want you to see is that Joseph had to go through the dark times, but God used the dark times to direct Joseph's life. Direct Joseph's life to Joseph's destiny. Now, you don't realize it, but your dark times direct your life far more than your good times. In fact, your good times are only a result and a product of your dark times. You learn in the dark times, and you enjoy those things you learned in the dark times in the good times. You develop talents and goals in the dark times, and you relive those things out in your good times. Your good times are only a product and a result of your dark times. Now, nobody enjoys dark times. I far prefer good times. I'm uncomfortable in dark times. But what I've learned in my life is that it's the dark times that have developed me and made me who I am, the I am I like. See, it's in the dark times that I learned to pray. See, I don't pray the same in good times as I pray in dark times. In fact, sometimes in good times, I don't pray at all. But I'll find God in dark times. In the dark times is where I have developed an unshakable trust in God, where I have developed a faith in God that I know He's going to show up. I don't know when sometimes, but I know He will. It's in the dark times that my character was developed. It's in the dark times that my prayer life was developed. It's in my dark times that I really became the person that I want to become. You see, if it weren't for the dark times, me and you would be stunted. You and I would be but midgets in our growth in God. It's the dark times that develop you. It's the dark times that grow you. Now, those are uncomfortable times. And David understood dark times. David understood them. David, the man after God's own heart, one of God's favorites. But he understood dark times. We don't. And here's what David said. I want to read this to you from the King James Version. Again, I like how it writes it. Psalms 4:1. David says here, "Hear me when I call, O God, O my righteousness." Now watch. "Thou hast," what? "Enlarged me," when I was in a dark time, when I was in distress. God didn't enlarge David in good times. God enlarged David in dark times, in times of stress and distress. And he says, "Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." David never liked good times. He always asked God to deliver him from good times, but he understood what good times do. Good times enlarge them. And look, now I want you to make sure you saw that, that God used the time to enlarge David. "You enlarged me in my distress." It wasn't the devil. God used the distress, the dark times, to enlarge David, make David bigger, make David better. And he talks about his distressful times many, many times. In the book of Psalms alone, he uses the word distress over 20 times. Now, the point there is that you're going to go through many dark times, many stressful, distressful times. But what you've got to understand, it is those times that are enlarging you and preparing you for what's coming down the road. God is using the dark time to prepare you for what's going to happen in your life in the future. He always does this. See, David was a boy. When he was a boy, he kept his father Jesse's sheep in the wilderness, you know, out there. Now, I don't imagine that David really enjoyed keeping those sheep. He was a boy. He wanted to go fishing. He wanted to go hunting with his buddies. He wanted to hang out. But he was back there keeping his daddy's sheep. But in that time, it was that David developed this amazing, deep relationship with God. This amazing relationship with God. He didn't have anybody to talk to but God and sheep. And so he started talking with God. And it was in those times that he began to write psalms and sing to the Lord. It was in those times that he became a musician. It was in those times when he was alone like that, where he was ministering to the Lord, that he developed a deep and a tremendous faith in God and a deep trust in the Lord. He developed this relationship with the Lord. He learned how to pray. He learned how to operate. He learned to prepare himself for what was coming down the road in life, in the distressful times, in the dark times. And let me show you this. David was sent by his daddy to take his brothers some food, and they were about to battle the Philistines. And this is where Goliath was coming out, mouthing off and challenging somebody to come fight him. Well, David shows up and says, I'll fight him. I'll do it. Well, Saul, who is king, calls David to his tent to check David out. He said, boy, you really want to do this? He said, you need my armor. And David said, no, I don't need your armor. I got it all figured out. So I want to read to you in this passage something that I think is so important in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 34. It says this, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, when the thing attacked me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it. I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Now this uncircumcised Philistine, this Goliath guy, will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, now notice the real confidence that Saul has here in David. He said, go, the Lord be with you, boy. But people thought that David was this overnight phenom. You know, this overnight wonder. David wasn't an overnight phenom. He wasn't an overnight wonder. See, he was enlarged. He was prepared in his dark times, in his distressful times, to handle what was coming in the future. See, he learned through the dark times. I mean, don't you think that a lion attacking you would be pretty distressful? A bear attacking you, that'd be pretty distressful, right? But he learned in those distressful times, in those dark times, how to handle Goliath. See, I want you to see this. You won't be able to handle Goliath in your life until you have some dark times, some distressful times. You've got to be able to handle the lion. You've got to be able to handle the bear before you're going to handle the Goliath that's coming down your road. And what dark times do is they prepare us for what's going on. Now, David never liked them. He never liked those dark times. He always asked God to deliver him from them. But he understood what they did. And they enlarged him. They made him better. They made him bigger. They prepared him for life. And that's exactly what dark times do for each and every one of us. But he also knew something more than that. David also knew that he was enlarged in his dark times. But he also knew that there was a blessing at the end of every dark time. That there is amazing blessings each and every time you go through a dark time correctly. There is amazing blessings that are waiting for you at the end of it. David also wrote Psalms 23. Now, most of you could quote Psalms 23 to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to read it to you, and I want to extract from it a couple of thoughts here that I really want us to see. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Goosebumps. "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Those are good times. Those are green pasture times. Those are still water times. Oh, those are goosebump times in life. But then David says this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now that's a dark time. He says, "I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." See, I've developed a trust and a faith in you that I know I can go through the darkest of times, the dark valleys of life. And I know you're with me. I know you're going to take care of me. You're going to protect me. He goes on. Then he says this, and I want you to, here's the point that I'm really after. Okay, we go through the valley. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." What does that mean? What does that mean anyway? Now, notice, I want you to see here that the table comes after the valley. The table that is prepared for you is at the end on the other side of the valley. And he goes on, "You anoint my head with oil." The new anointing, the freshness of life, the new talents that God gives you, the new talents that you develop come after the dark valley. "My cup overflows." The blessings of God, the overflowing blessings of God come after the dark valley. And he goes on and he says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So what he says here is that the same God who leads me to green pastures and still waters and restores my soul to the goosebumps of life and the things of righteousness is the same God who leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. The same God that leads me, is with me in the good times, is the same God who's with me in the bad times or in the dark times. I hate saying bad times because they're really not bad. Not if we understand them. See, it's easy to trust God when it's good, when it's green pastures, when it's still waters, when it's goosebumps. It's easy to trust God then. But can you, do you trust God in the dark valley? You see, we've got to learn how to trust Him in the dark valley. In the dark valley, you're alone. Now, people can be all around you, but you're alone. In the dark valley, it's frightening. In the dark valley, it's stressful. But it's in the dark valley you'll talk to God. Every time. Right. And it's after the dark valley that the table is set and prepared in the presence of your enemies. See, David said, my enemies thought that this dark valley was going to destroy me, but really, they blessed me. Because of them, I got a table prepared for me by the Lord. And now they've got to watch me in the presence of my enemies. They've got to watch me now enjoy the blessings of God. Partake of, enjoy the blessings of God. The new anointing comes, David said. I get new talents. They've got to watch me be productive in my life with new talents and new abilities and a new energy in life. They've got to watch the blessings of God overflow in my life. And it's after the dark valley. After the dark valley, these particular things happen. Here's the point. If you will go through the dark valley the way you should, the right way, when you keep doing right things, when wrong things are happening to you, God has a table waiting for you of blessings. God has a fresh anointing, new talents, energy in life for you. God has an overflowing cup of blessings for you. What I've learned in life is that when I see that something is dying, perhaps a relationship or something going on in my life, a termination of a job, when I've watched that happening, something is dying in my life, I find that if I handle it correctly and let God take care of it, something also is birthing in my life. Perhaps in the relationship thing, you had a friend, a relationship who been your friend for years and years, and they got upset with you or angry and something happened and turned their back on you. Well, I want you to know God's got another friend already aligned. See, God saw something. God knew something that you didn't know. And He's already got a new friend, a better friend, already lined up, waiting for you to cross paths with them. Maybe in the layoff. You were laid off. And this is a distressful, bad time for you. It was a dark time. But God knew something. You got to see it as God, trust God in the fact that God's got something better for you. It's coming down the road. You just trust God. There's blessings coming down the road. People leave the church. It breaks my heart every time. It discourages me. I feel a failure. But then God sends you. See, we got to trust God in the dark times of life. Because if we'll trust God in the dark times of life, at the end of it, if we handle it correctly, if we'll keep doing right things when wrong things are happening in our life, if we keep doing that, there's a table, a new anointing, and a cup that's overflowing in our lives. See, the divorce didn't kill you. The illness didn't kill you. The layoff didn't kill you. It planted you. It didn't bury you. It planted you. And if you'll allow now the germination of those seeds that are within you to come in the dark times of your life, and you'll see that that's what's happening in your life, then you're going to enjoy the table that's set before you at the end of the valley. You're going to enjoy the new anointing and the new aspects of life. You're going to enjoy being before your enemies, and they're going to watch God's blessing your life. They're going to see the good things happening in your life. My good friend, Randy Parker, he has been faithful to God, faithful to our church, and faithful and a good friend to me for 30 years. Several years back, we think it's around 15 years ago, Randy had worked for a company for 15 years, and they did cutbacks. Some crazy things were happening within the company, and they laid Randy off. I think the first place that Randy came was to my office. He told me what was happening, and I told Randy, I said, Randy, I don't know how, but I know that God's going to use this for your good. And Randy said, I don't know. this is pretty bad. And Randy came in, and he was worried. Of course he was. He was embarrassed. He felt limited to what he was able and had the potential to do at that stage and time of his life. He was discouraged. He was in distress. It was a dark time for him. He was hurt, and he was bitter. I told Randy, I said, Randy, I know God's going to work it out for you. So what we did is we sat down, we wrote out Randy a good resume, and he mailed it to different plants all around in the area. And he got a lot of offers from those plants, but none of them were willing to subsidize and pay him for what he needed and what he required to take care of his family. And he didn't want any of those jobs. So went on, and the company that had terminated him was paying him while he was searching for a job. They gave him some time to find a job. Well, this rolled on and rolled on and rolled on. And I would talk to Randy. Randy would be so discouraged, so fidgety, and so in distress. And I told him one time, I said, Randy, I said, why don't you and DeLand go on a vacation? And he looked at me and he said, what? He said, I don't have a job. I'm not working. I can't go on a vacation. But Randy stayed faithful to God. He continued to give money. He continued to serve the Lord. He continued being faithful to the Lord. Well, 3 months rocked by, and finally Randy, just knowing Randy, he said, I just can't sit around anymore. I got to find a job. So he took one of the jobs that were offered him. And so he was to report for work the next night. But that day, he got a phone call from the very company that terminated him 3 months earlier. And they asked him to come and see him. Well, Randy was so bitter. He was so mad. He was so angry with them. He didn't want to go. He calls me and I said, Randy, at least go. I said, at the worst, they'll give you your job back, but go and see what they've got to say. So finally he went and talked to him. Well, not only did they want to rehire Randy and give him a job, they gave him the whole plant to manage. What they did was they took Randy and they gave him an amazing promotion with a tremendous salary increase. Now, Randy had to go through the dark time. But when he got through the dark time, there was a table prepared for him in the presence of his enemies. The people that had talked about him, the people that had stirred up stuff in the plant, they were gone. And they had to watch Randy get the job and get the blessings and the table and partake of the blessings of God. They had to watch that happen for Randy. Randy had a new anointing on his life. He was excited about life again. He was excited about his family. He was excited about what he was able to do. His talents were being brought out, and the seeds that had been planted in there had germinated. And they were coming out. He was now doing things he had never done before. It was a new anointing on his life. And the cup has been running over for 15 years. 15 years Randy has been doing this job. And he's made far more money than he was ever making before. See, I want you to know, you got, and Randy did the right thing. He remained faithful. He did what was right when wrong things were happening. And God took him. And when he got through that time, that dark time, God blessed his life. Abundantly, amazingly. Now, you can't get stuck in your dark time. See, the dark time is not your home. You can't get stuck in the valley. Valleys are easy to get stuck in. They're wet, you know, they're soggy, and you can get stuck in a valley. But the valley's not your home. See, the valley is just planting time. And when you're in the valley, we tend to get stuck in the valley. And what causes us to bog down, what causes us to spend too much time in the valley times is because we become so negative. Why me? This ain't right. If God was God, I wouldn't be going through this. And God's not even real. And we start saying things and we start doing mean things. And we know we shouldn't do. We know we shouldn't say. And so we get stuck right there in the valley. Listen, you got to keep going through the valley. You got to keep doing what's right, even though wrong things are happening in your life. You got to get through it because at the end of the valley are the good things. I didn't remember it. Randy reminded me of it this week as we were talking. But Randy had gotten so bitter and so angry with the people that had terminated him. He came by my office. And he was telling me about it. And he says, what do I need to do? And I said, I think we need to write him a letter. Not a letter to blast them, but a letter to thank them for all the years that they employed him and blessed his life. Randy said, what? I said, Randy, what? You know, getting mad, saying mean things, blasting them is not going to help anything. So we did. We sat down, we wrote a letter, a nice letter, and Randy mailed it to all of them. Then Randy said this. And I didn't remember it. He reminded me of it. Randy said this. But it wasn't long after we mailed the letter that they made me the offer. You see, when you keep doing the right thing, when wrong things are happening in your life, God's got the table set before you and before you. I got one more story I want to share with you, and then we'll be done for today. This was 20 years ago. And so a lot of you weren't here, and those of you who were will remember it. It was a dark time for our church. And to say it was a distressful time for me is an understatement. I was so filled with bitterness and anger and hate that my wife told me that when I would sleep, I would shake. I hated. I hated like I'd never hated. I had the most embarrassing time of my whole life. People left the church. We had a mortgage on our building at the time. We had a staff, school, teachers, people working. We had bills to pay, you know, lights and utilities. And we didn't have any money. No money to pay them. It looked bad. It looked like we were going to be buried and our enemies were going to get to rejoice in our presence rather than us rejoicing in theirs. It looked bad for us. It looked like we were going to be buried. Well, I remember the time and remember the place and remember what I was doing. Judy calls me on the phone. Judy calls and says, I believe that the Lord just spoke to me about what to do about the situation. And I said, oh, really? What is that? And so she starts telling me. She says, I really believe that if we give the people fair warning, a couple of weeks, and then we told them what we wanted to do, that we wanted to pay off the mortgage on the building. We brought up a big board in front, put squares on it, and got people to give what they were capable of giving over the time that we'll pay the building off. And I said, well, okay, we'll talk about it when I get home. We did. We talked about it. Then I projected it to the leadership. And everybody says, well, why not? You know, can't hurt anything. So we did. And if you were here, you remember, put the board right over there, and people would come up and fill out what was done. And you know, it was pretty amazing. I heard Joel Osteen say that a exclamation point is nothing more. Is only a question mark straightened out. And God will straighten out your question marks and make them exclamation points if you'll trust Him. And He'll answer the questions, but He'll end them with an exclamation mark, not a question. We had so many questions. I couldn't tell you the questions I had at that time in my life. I mean, it went from not only were we going to pay the building off, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? You know, what job am I going to have? You know, so I mean, it looked bad. So in 20 minutes, all the questions were answered and turned into exclamation points. You know, so we did that, and people began to come forward. And here's the question: were we going to survive? Answer: yes! Exclamation point. We are still here 20 years later. Question. Were we going to pay the mortgage off? Yeah. Answer, yes! Exclamation point. Paid it all off. Question, were we going to be able to pay our staff and pay bills and pay what we owed? Were we going to be able to do that? Question, answer, yes! Exclamation point. But not only were we going to be able to pay our bills off and pay everything that we owed and pay the mortgage off, but we were going to be able to pave our parking lot. We were going to be able to carpet this whole building, this whole structure. Exclamation point. He straightened all the questions out. We kept doing what was right, even though things were wrong. Things were going wrong in our life, but we kept doing the right things that was in our life. And God answered every single thing. And He prepared a table. We had to go through that valley. See, they thought they were destroying us. But what they were really doing was blessing us. Had it not been for that dark time, we may still owe on this building. Right? We still may be walking on gravel out there. It was in the dark time that God blessed. He prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We were on the front page of the newspaper burning our mortgage. They had to watch that. We were on the radio telling them what LifeGate Church was doing. They had to listen to that. He prepared a table for us in the presence. And things were down, but there was a new anointing that came. Oh, goodness, talents started coming out. We had plans. We did things. All this stuff started happening. There was a freshness. There was a fresh anointing that came here. And the cup ran over. For 20 years, it's been running over, and God's been blessing us. What I want you to see is that you got to keep going. You can't bog down in your dark time. If you'll keep going through the dark time, doing the right things when the wrong things are happening in your life, understanding that God is doing something, that every dark time has a purpose, every dark time has a reason behind it, and if you'll let that work through your life, God will change everything about you. I want you to know, see, dark times are not meant to destroy you. They're meant to bless you. They're blessings in your life. You don't realize that, especially when you're going through it, but they are. You don't realize that. See, and if they weren't good for you, God would not let them happen to you. Your dark times are times when the seeds in your life, your dream seeds, your goal seeds, your ability seeds, opportunities that you have, the objectives that you have.
Yes, together
where they bust out of the ground and bring forth much fruit. The dark times in your lives are when God is directing your life to your destiny, like He did with Joseph. He's enlarging you, like He did with David. It's in the dark times that you face the lions and the bears so that you can handle the Goliaths. It's in the dark times that you go through in life. And if you go through them, those dark times with doing the right thing when the wrong thing is happening, there's always a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies have to watch God bless your life. There's a new anointing. There's a skip in your step. There's a freshness in life. There new talents are birthed. New things come forth. A new anointing. and the cup runs over with the blessings of God. Some of you are in dark times. Some of you have been in dark times a long time. You've got stuck in your dark time. What I want to tell you is start doing the right thing. Stop talking negatively. Write letters of appreciation if you have to. Make a phone call of appreciation if you have to. It's tough. But if you'll do the right thing when the wrong things are happening, God will take you through that dark time. He'll pull you out of that thing. You won't be stuck. You won't be bogged down anymore. And at the end of it, there's a table, an anointing, and an overflowing cup of blessings. Let's pray.